Scripture comes from three different books this morning. And the first one is in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 20 through to 26. And that is found in your Pew Bibles on page 187. If you desire to follow that, I will give you a moment to find that page. Do not offer the Lord the blind, the injured, or the maimed, or anything with warts or festering or running sores. Do not place any of these on the altar as an offering made to the Lord by fire. You may, however, present as a free will offering an ox or a sheep that is deformed or stunted, but it will not be accepted in fulfillment of a vow. You must not offer to the Lord an animal whose testicles are bruised, crushed, torn, or cut. You must not do this in your own land, and you must not accept such animals from the hand of a foreigner and offer them as the food of your God. They will not be accepted on your behalf because they are deformed and have defects. And then we want to go to the book of Romans. That's page 1763 in your Pew Bibles. And chapter 12 with the first verse. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then on page 1878, out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice, God is pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God. So you're wondering, why are we going to talk about Old Testament altars and sacrifices? Well, there's a lesson to be had here. And we're going to start out with a little bit of history and information, and then we're going to move into the New Testament and talk about how these verses speak to us today. So we're going to talk about these sacrifices. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were on the major focus of the Jewish life. It seems that every day, sacrifices of one kind or another were offered continuously over and over again. In some cases, this was almost a daily event. Throughout the years, Israelites would offer all kinds of sacrifices. Some of it would be bulls and sheep and goats. But there was also the doves and the pigeons. And there was also drink offerings and offerings of grain and flour and corn. So the different type of offerings, I'm going to list a few of them here this morning. The first one I want to talk about is the burnt offering. This was a sacrifice that you could offer to cover national sins, or as part of a prayer offer to God, or simply as an offering to please God. And then they did a sin offering. And this was forgiveness of a personal sin or a ritual impurity. And we have the guilt offering. And this was often offered for personal sins that required restitution. Then we have the green offering. This could be offered along with a burnt offering, but it was often presented by the poor as a sin offering. Now, if we were still living under Old Testament rule, would we ever have time to get away from the altar and go to work? Especially on the sin offering. Or maybe even the guilt offering. It would be a full-time task for us. But finally, they have the fellowship or peace offering. This was a free will sacrifice designed to celebrate God's kindness or as an appeal to God for a closer relationship. Now, how things have changed since Old Testament time. We don't have to go to the altar or make a sacrifice for a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. We just need to get down on our knees and just ask that it comes into our heart. We just need to take time out of the 24-hour period and spend time with personal devotion and prayer. And just talk to our God. It don't have to be fancy words. It just has to be words. So this last sacrifice was the only sacrifice that the person who offered it was allowed to eat. Every other sacrifice was either entirely burned up on the altar or was partly burned, and the rest of it was given to the priests for them to eat. The people that made the sacrifices could not eat what they put on the altar. Most often it was destroyed through fire and then buried. What's interesting about all these sacrifices was that each offering cost the offerer something. The more wealthy were required to sacrifice part of their flock or herd. So they would sacrifice part of the grain they gathered, or the poor usually didn't have flocks or herds, so they would sacrifice part of their grain that they had gathered, or maybe a bird that they had caught was going to be used as food. And my point is this. No matter who offered up the sacrifices, it cost something. Now that's no different today. Whatever sacrifice we offer, and I'm going to talk about this in a few minutes, it's going to cost us something. And what you sacrifice will be determined on what it costs you. That's part of the reason that we call them sacrifices. In addition, every sacrifice had to be the best that could be offered. We read that in the scripture. No sacrifice was acceptable that had a blemish or a deformity. The scripture that we read this morning said it would not be pleasing to God if it was not a perfect critter or the best of the crop. No sacrifice was acceptable that had a blemish. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. Now you say, wow, but let me put it in context for you. Does God deserve anything that is not perfect? A God that is perfect and we want to send him our secondhand stuff? You got to be kidding me. But how difficult is that today? Oh, I can't sacrifice this. I I've waited too long to have this. I'm going to keep it for myself. So as I was preparing this message, and actually when I got down to typing it, one thing came to mind. My dad was born and raised during the Depression, and he lived on a farm. And everything that Grandpa did on that farm was sold or kept for themselves to feed his family, and it was a larger family. But in the case of an animal, Grandpa sold the best stuff. And he kept the stuff that nobody wanted, like the liver and the kidney and this and that and etc. Today I call that stuff guts. But you see my point? It's kind of the same thing. My grandpa sold the best stuff because it was best for the family. And yet learned to eat the stuff that other people didn't want to buy because it sufficed for the family. And that's the same thing in the Old Testament. They sacrificed the best animal they had because God didn't deserve anything less. And they learned to survive on the stuff that wasn't so great because that was a necessity. God asked the Israelites for sacrifices to remind them that they didn't own anything. Whoa. All of the stuff that we have? Some of us had to put up an extra building because we had so much stuff. And now the scripture's telling me that I don't own this? The stuff that I worked hard for, my toys that I play with, and God owns it, which means that he can take it away from us anytime he wants. Let me ask you this. Would you take your biggest and most beautiful and the funnest, if that's a word, toy that you have in your garage and sell it and take that money and use it for God's kingdom? How willing are you to do that? It shouldn't even be a second thought for us, but it is. It is for me. But it shouldn't be because I don't own it. God does. So it only makes sense if the occasion arises to sell it and use that money to further God's kingdom. Even as a nation, they weren't their own. All they had and all they were belonged to God. And the first of the Ten Commandments drives this home. And it says this, I know you know it. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Really what God is saying is, I took care of you. You were slaves and now you're free. I bought you and now you belong to me. And that's very much what God says to us today. Once you were baptized into Christ, your body became a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. However, as Christians, we're no longer required to offer animal sacrifices. That's completely an Old Testament command. God doesn't accept animal sacrifices. Even if we wanted to do it, God wouldn't accept it. When Jesus died on the cross, the Old Testament sacrifices were no longer required. When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and that's why when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Now, then three words encompasses a whole bunch. But one of the things that it encompasses is, because me, Jesus, is the Son of God, and my Father commanded me to go to the cross, and all of your sins are forgiven, that is the ultimate sacrifice. Because of this action, when he said it is finished, he's saying that Old Testament sacrifices are a thing of the past. But what he is saying also is his New Testament sacrifices are now the order of the day. But does that mean that we no longer need to offer sacrifices to God? I don't think so. We just don't need to make animal sacrifices anymore. The New Testament talks a lot about the sacrifices that God asked for us, from us. As we read this morning in Hebrews 13, it says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Now, there's the Hebrews is saying, what you do, do good. What you share, make it worthwhile. If you got a dollar, don't share a penny. This act of these things is a sacrifice. In this congregation, we have things like the blanket ministry, or the food pantry, or all of our different mission work. You see, people who get involved with those kinds of things are offering sacrifices to God. Do you ever think of it that way? Most of us just think, well, I'll just give to this or I'll just give to that. But what you're really doing is sacrificing. That act is a sacrifice, a New Testament sacrifice. As Christians, we should be known as people who care. When a person is sad, we should listen to them. And we should pray for them. When a person is lonely, call them and visit them. When a person needs a ride, drive them to places. All of these things that I mentioned here happens a lot here at Carlisle. And bless those that do it. But do you ever think that you doing this is actually a sacrifice? A New Testament sacrifice? You ever think of it in them terms? When you do that, you're offering sacrifices to God. That's why Jesus said that you should, listen to this, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your good deeds are sacrifices that are pleasing to God. As we read this morning in Hebrews 13, it says, through Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, listen to this now, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. The fruit of lips. Do you realize that every time you talk about Jesus and every time you praise God around someone else, God regards that as having the same importance and value as the Old Testament animal sacrifices? Do you ever think of that? You ever sat down at a Bible study And listen to the leader. The fruit of his lips are feeding you. And that fruit is a sacrifice unto the Lord. You ever think of it in terms? But that's not the only sacrifice God asks for us. In fact, without this last sacrifice, what you do would have little meaning. This last sacrifice is the most important. In Romans 12, as we read, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Not physical worship, your spiritual worship. This is a one-on-one between you and Jesus. That's what happens when we do a daily devotional. It creates a space. It creates a room where there is one-on-one time with Jesus. It is a spiritual sacrifice. This is about more than just what we say or do. This is when we offer God us. This is when we offer God everything that we are. And this is when we offer God everything that we have. This is being offered as a living sacrifice to God. Being a living sacrifice is when we are totally with Jesus. When all that we say and do and have that already belongs to God is a testament of how we are sold out for Jesus. But here's the thing. Until we understand how much God sacrificed for us, we're not going to want to place our own lives on that altar of sacrifice. You see, without that understanding, without knowing how much God sacrificed for us, His Son, His only Son, through a horrendous death, God gave the ultimate sacrifice. And if we don't understand that, all these things that we describe, that I described here this morning, don't mean sic'em. Because if we don't understand what God did for us, what we do are not sacrifices. They're just things. It's just something that the preacher told me I had to do. Without that understanding, without knowing what God gave for us, we would not truly be able to be a living sacrifice. And all of God's people said,